Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text, the first lesson from Revelation, and I'd like to read the opening verse. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing bright white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This is our text. Please be seated. If you have email, and I'm guessing most of you do, and now, I don't see this as often nowadays as it used to be, but undoubtedly you have received some of those messages that seem to get forwarded and forwarded until they finally reach one of your friends, who in turn forwards it to you. Well, the following is one of those forwarded messages. It's a quiz that tests your ability to recall some important events and people. There's only 5 questions, so let's take it together. Name the 3 wealthiest people in the world. Name the last 3 Heisman Trophy winners. Name 3 people who have either won the Nobel or the Pulitzer Prize. Name the last 3 Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Actress. And maybe I'll add this one. Name the winners of the World Series for the last 5 years. I don't even know who won yesterday. How did you do? Probably not very well, if you're like most people. The point is, none of us remember the headliners of yesterday. I mean, those questions were not about second-rate achievers. They were referring to the best in their fields, people who made the news, people who were known by millions, people who attained greatness in the eyes of the world. But the fact is, the applause dies. Awards tarnish. Achievements are forgotten. Accolades and certificates, they get buried with their owners. Let me try another quiz. 5 more questions. See how you do this time. List 2 teachers who aided you in your journey through school. Name 2 friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Think of a couple people who made you feel appreciated and special. Think of a couple people that you enjoy spending time with. Name a couple of heroes, and we even had a hero before. Name a couple of heroes whose stories have inspired you. Let me ask you, was that any easier? I think so. If you're like most people, that was probably an easier list of questions. The lesson really is this, that the people who made a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials or the most money or the most awards. The people who made a difference in your life are the ones that care. They are the saints who were sent to you when you needed them to carry out God's work on earth. They are the ones that Revelation describes as standing around with angels before the throne of God. You know, those who will serve God for eternity because they served Him in this life. Maybe you think that I'm using the word saint a little too loosely. I mean, after all, don't we think that sainthood is something to be achieved, that you have to qualify to be a saint? You know, that people in high places and in the church, they have to evaluate your achievements and your lifestyle and then decide if sainthood is appropriate. And I mean, if we went around and started calling everybody a saint, that would diminish the importance of the word, wouldn't it? I mean, even the dictionary defines a saint as a person officially recognized, especially by canonization, as being entitled to public veneration and capable of interceding for people on earth. In other words, a saint is a person set aside by the church for adoration from the church. But I'm going to tell you, there's a problem with one element implied by that definition, that the person who becomes a saint must already be dead. I mean, how else would they have the ability to intervene for people on earth? But I contend that saints are indeed those people that are standing around with angels before the throne of God. But the fact is, before they were standing around with angels, before that took place, they were standing around with angels here on earth. I mean, the Bible talks about saints throughout the Old and New Testament. And when used in its plural form, it's used to designate all believers. It's not merely applied to persons of exceptional holiness. It includes flesh and blood human beings who are serving God among His people. And so it's said that we are, as that one card pointed out, that we are both saint and sinner embodied in the same person. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no saint who is not also a sinner. And so that would leave us with saints who are imperfect people. People like an elderly man named Norman, who once held a very high position in his company and who was known throughout his industry. But as he spent his semi-retirement years, he spent them carrying clean linens and towels to first-year seminary students in their dorms. And the fact is, he was just as important to God as when he was the vice president of a large corporation, unnoticed by most people, but some saw the angels standing around him. Or perhaps there were people like Sherry, who recruits a group of workers every summer to go down to rural Kentucky to build housing for low-income families. She also manages to raise money every year to pay for building supplies. And her groups, they drive nails and saw boards. And by so doing, they promote a new beginning for many people in a financially depressed area. And Sherry stands in the midst of angels. And we here today, we talked about them before, we'll include them in the prayers. We remember those from your congregation, those who have died over the past year. I mean, those are just a few of those who stood with angels, making a difference in this congregation. And now they are standing with them before the throne of God. But I also invite you to look in the pew next to you, or maybe in front of you, or maybe behind you. And I invite you to see the faces and say the names of the saints who are with us. Those who care enough to do the simple things that make a difference. And they stand among us with the angels to do God's work. In a far country, there lived a band of minstrels who traveled from town to town. And fact is, they had not been doing very well. Times were hard. There was little money for the common folk to pay, even the small fee to hear the minstrels. And attendance had been falling off. So early one evening, the group met to discuss their plight. And one spoke up and said, "Well, I see no reason for opening tonight. I mean, to make things even worse, it's starting to snow. Who's going to venture out on a night like this? I mean, the previous night, just a handful of people had showed up. Tonight, they were expecting even fewer." And they all felt that they couldn't perform their best under those circumstances, and they wanted to cancel the performance. But an older member came forward, looked straight at his troop, and he says, "I know you're discouraged, and I am too. But we have a responsibility to those who might come. We will go on, and we will do the best job of which we are capable. I mean, it's not the fault of those who come that others do not. And they shouldn't be punished with less than the best that we can give." Well, heartened by those words, the minstrels went ahead with their show, and they performed better. And when the show was over, and that small audience had gone, the old man called his troop to him, and in his hand there was a note given to him by one of the audience just before the doors closed behind him. "Listen to this, my friends." And slowly the old man read, "Thank you for a beautiful performance." And it was signed very simply, "Your King." The fact is, you may not always perform before large crowds. The world may not always see the work of your hands. Others may not recognize you as a saint, but someone does. And that's the someone who counts the most. Final story. There was a veteran missionary who was returning home to the United States after several terms in the mission field. And aboard his ship, there was a skeptic who challenged him by pointing out the futility of giving one's life in missionary service. And he continued by noting that no one on board the ship was paying any attention to the missionary, a sign that they apparently considered his efforts quite wasted. And the missionary replied, "I'm not home yet." Well, when not a solitary person welcomed that missionary as they disembarked, that skeptic scoffed again. And once again, the missionary said, "I'm not home yet." Well, it was a lonely train ride to his small Midwestern town, hometown. And reaching the destination, the missionary could no longer fight back the tears as the train pulled away. Again, he stood alone. And it was then that the inner voice of God's Spirit brought comfort by reminding that faithful servant, you're not home yet. We're not home yet. Perhaps just like that missionary, you feel like you're standing alone. You feel unappreciated. You feel that what you do doesn't matter. But know this about yourself. You do matter. You matter to God. And you matter to those people whose lives you touched and are better off because you were there. The fact is, you don't stand alone now, nor will you stand alone in eternity. For the saints always have each other. And when you do go home, you will stand with all the saints and angels. And there, standing in your midst, will be Jesus. And that's where he's been standing all along. Amen.